Hi, this is Jonathan Paley of the Nervous Eaters, and you're listening to 90.7 FM WGXC Acre.
You are invited to join me upon the Cypress Bough. Music from North Africa, West and Central Asia. First Monday of every month, 8 to 10 p.m. on WGXC 90.7 FM and WGXC.org.
Here's a PSA from Columbia County Sanctuary Movement about what to do if you encounter ICE. In our community, knowledge is power, so let's talk about your rights. You don't have to open the door, and you have the right to stay silent, not sign anything, and in New York, you can record an interaction with law enforcement. If an agent comes with a warrant, it must be signed by a judge to be valid. In public, make sure to stay calm, don't run, and never lie or show false documents. If you're detained, you don't have to sign anything without a lawyer. ICE can use your words against you. So stay silent and ask for legal help. To stay informed, visit our social media account at CCSMNY, and if you are interested in learning more about your rights, call Columbia County Sanctuary Movement at 518-303-3848, Monday through Thursday, 9 to 5 p.m. And if you're approached by ICE agents or see them in the community, call CCSM's Rapid Response Line at 518-291-9386.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous support of Alex of Tivoli, New York. WGXC supporters care deeply about Creative Community Radio. Their generosity and investment keep this unique station viable. You too can become a monthly supporter by going to WGXC.org/donate. and establishing a donation at the amount of your choosing. We hope you will do so. Thank you so much for your support.
Hi everyone, welcome to Meant to Ferment on WGXC ACRA 90.7 FM, radio for open ears. My name is Rebecca Echevarria and I will be your host for this show. This show explores all things fermentation in the Hudson Valley through interviews with practitioners and a bit of music inspired by their work. Today, I am super excited to welcome Atina Foods to the show. Suresh Pillai and Carrie Dashaw, the married team behind a Catskill-based fermentation business. Atina Foods is firmly rooted in food as medicine, medicine as food. They craft a dynamic, delicious, and endlessly creative world which spans markets, festivals, a seasonal home store, online retailers, educational workshops, on-site meals, and more. Each activation is grounded in nurturing deeper connections with the natural world and cultivating synchronicity between the mind, body, and spirit. Since we have a sonic extension of their practice in this show, if you'd like to participate, please gather a knife, cutting board, bowl, salt, any vegetables you might have on hand, but we'll have a bit of music before it, so you have some time if you need. I was super excited to finally meet one half of Atina Foods, Carrie, in person at a local food swap. I got their fermented fennel in exchange for my amazake, and it was so bright and delicious. And so I included a song called Wild Fennel, which is playing below me now. Thank you so much for coming to the show, Suresh and Carrie. I'm so excited to have you here.
Thank you. Thank you for that. Thank you for hosting us.
How was your weekend? I saw that you had a dumpling gathering.
Yeah, we had the first, perhaps the only, we don't know, a dip-in dumplings, dumpling dip-ins with Renee, who I also met at that food swap.
Okay, so the food swap is reverberating.
The food swap swapped a lot of things.
Yes. Okay, great. Well, we'll chat a bit more, but I have some other songs inspired by your practice, particularly by ingredients you use often, garlic, turmeric, and ginger. They have powerful roles and physical benefits in Ayurvedic medicine as well, which is a grounding principle in your practice, as well as incorporating the abundance from Hudson Valley Farms. So let's try a taste.
Thank you. கொஞ்ச தண்ணி ஊத்து மாம மேல பார்த்து கொஞ்சி கொஞ்சி வியாடு கோத்து
அப்பு போட்டு மாலையணி மாத்து நல்ல நல்ல கம்பு கேன ஊத்து
வெடக்கோழி ஓடாதடி வெடக்கோழி ஓடாதடி தடையேதும் போடாதடி தடையேதும் போடாதடி
நீ கண்ணடிக்கு வாரு நாம பட்டு போற போற
கொஞ்ச தண்ணி ஊத்து மாம மேல பார்த்து கொஞ்சி கொஞ்சி நீ அடு கூட்டு
மல்லியப்பு போட்டு
வீசடி தோட்டத்து மாறி கொழுந்து தோலுக்குள் இருந்தா தோசைக்கு வருமா மூடுன முழு உழுந்தே அடி பச்சை கொடி ஓய்த்தப்படி நீயும் என் மேல சுத்திக்கணும்
தாடி
ஒரு அச்சாரம் போடாம கச்சேரி தாண்டி கொஞ்ச தண்ணி ஊத்து மாம மேல பார்த்து கொஞ்சி கொஞ்சி நீ ஆடு கூத்து
transformation of life, the living, live on the air, of the air. We will take you to a place where we can meet your dream pickle. As we asked for you to prepare. If you didn't prepare, just close your eyes and come with us to a place where we have naturally organic vegetables. Today, it would be nice if you used a cucumber, not because a pickle is a cucumber, but because it is unabashedly juicy. For us, we have with us not a cucumber, but a carrot and a very hot pepper. It doesn't matter. Well, it does matter, but let us gather your ingredients now. We asked that you had on hand some vinegar. Let me be clear, we do not use vinegar in our fermentation, but we use vinegar to kill the bacteria that might get in the way of your pure, dry fermentation. We also do not use water. Hence, today, on hand, you have some paper towels. So, as you gather these materials, we have asked the vegetable, a cutting board, a knife, a jar and or a bowl, perhaps a sticker and a pen, and paper towels. It would be ideal if your vegetables were clean and dry at this point. But what we'll say is that if you start with an organic vegetable, you do not need to skin it. But if it is not organic and from a store, then maybe you want to skin your vegetable now. You can do that in any way that you'd like, with a knife or a peeler, whatever you have on hand. Sometimes it's fun to take the back of the knife and just stroke it over the vegetable to get rid of it. Whatever works, whatever vegetable you have. So the goal right now is for us to get our vegetable into smaller states. Each one will become their own live transformation. So let's imagine that it's a cucumber. Take your cucumber, cut it, slice it into many pieces. As you know, that cucumber, it has a lot of juice in it. So our goal in this situation is that the salt is going to come in and it's going to act as a catalyst for that vegetable to release all of its juices. That's why the cucumber is so easy. But it does it with all the other vegetables too. One of our favorites is garlicscape. It may seem kind of dry, but when you let it ferment and let the salt do its way, then the juice will come out, and what happens is it will ferment within its own juices and transform by itself into the best that it can be, the lactic acid, the lacto fermentation. So now you have cut your cucumbers, and I hope your hands are clean. You're going to take those pieces and put them into your bowl or a glass jar. Now this vessel that you're going to put it in is going to be either glass or stainless steel. It is not plastic, not anything that can keep any of your ferment there with it. So we're going to have a non-porous surface. So put it in a bowl or in your glass, and then you're going to reach for your salt. You're going to take a small amount of salt, let's just say about a spoonful, and you're going to sprinkle it onto your vegetable. Now, if you have a cucumber, you may see the results sooner. So you take it and you sprinkle it onto that vegetable. And then you're going to leave it in that bowl and place a paper towel on top of it. And then you're going to sit it aside for the remainder of our show. We will come back to it at the end, and you will see what changes may have occurred with you and the vegetable.
Thank you for that, Carrie. Wonderful.
Thank you to the vegetables.
Thank you to the vegetables, always. Mm-hmm. Thank you to the vegetables. Yes, that's exactly right. Have you ever done a sonic meditation on pickles like that before, or maybe that's happening every day in your kitchen at home?
I've never had the opportunity to do it that way, but I could do more.
Yeah. No, it was wonderful, very relaxing. Perfect. Well, we just, in terms of music, we just heard Garlic by a band called the Nellaries from their 1994 album Daisy. The next song was Manja Tani Otu.
Mm-hmm.
Utu? I might be butchering the pronunciation.
What's that?
Oh, the pronunciation of Manja Tani.
Manja Tani.
Manja Tani. Mm-hmm. Otu. By S. Janaki from the 1992 film Soleyama. It's about an ancient ritual, turmeric water ceremony practiced during the festival season that I read about on the Atina Foods blog. And the last was White Ginger Blossoms by Bud Tutmark from the 1966 Rainbows in Paradise. And we also had an extra ginger song in there. How did it feel with the Hawaiian kind of reflections in the background?
I loved that background music. Yeah.
And then we kind of kicked it off with a different energetic potential.
That got me a little confused, but yeah. That was okay.
We were trying to make do. Maybe it was the activation. It was the activation.
Oh, yes.
Of it all.
Yes. Yeah. Maybe that's when the salt hits the body. Yes. of the vegetable, then things are changing. I think that's actually like having to get acclimate to a new music to change. It's all about change.
Yes. So then it was an improvisation. So, and we're here in WGXC, Meant to Ferment. Thank you again so much for being here. Mm-hmm. I like to start off the show with a question, however you'd like to interpret it, in what does fermentation mean to you, whoever would like to start?
Well, fermentation is a process of preserving food, I mean. And it is a kind of a natural process which human beings might have learned from animals or other things. So it's basically how do you preserve food. So that is a very simple thing. The preservation of food comes from abundance of food. And also, when you preserve it, there are two ways food can be preserved. One is cooked preservation and another is uncooked preservation. So when we talk about fermentation, which is basically uncooked fermentation. So uncooked fermentation means you need to know the vegetables, primarily the vegetables, that you need to know the edible part of the vegetable, which could be fermented. And fermentation is a process when the vegetable, which is cut off from the plant and vegetable, we are giving life back to the vegetable. And it is commonly known as pickle, but also there is a fermented rice, fermented grains, fermented beans. There is a whole lot of fermented food across the world. So fermentation is a technique which has been practiced by almost all communities around the globe. Depending on which weather, where and what kind of resources they had. Generally, the basic bottom line is you cut the vegetable into smallest possible size and add sprinkled salt and put it in a ceramic or glass jar in the sun for 6 weeks, and the vegetable turns into an edible food product which you don't have to cook. But in the case of rice and beans and other lentils, there is a whole process of fermenting it, and the Japanese fermentation, Indian fermentation, they use a lot of natural fermentation agents like fenugreek. Mm-hmm. A whole lot of process is there for fermentation, and fermentation is there everywhere in the world, everywhere on this planet. The food naturally gets. It is different from composting. Composting is breaking the food into individual molecules, back into its basic elements. Fermentation is giving back to the life. Mm. That's a first difference.
Yeah, I guess we spoke about that briefly when I was lucky enough to visit your home store, and just like the regeneration of giving life, yeah, life force, kind of renewal,
right.
Renewal of life force. But yes.
Exactly. Yeah.
Which in turn then, when we eat it, helps us.
Yeah.
with our freshness and renewal of life as well.
Yeah. There's a feedback in the body when you're consuming ferment.
Right. Fermentation food is fermented food are easily digestible than compared to the raw food or cooked food. And also, like you, as practitioners, you can experiment with a lot of like spices, which again, without cooking, without heating, how do you bring to the taste of it? You know, like one of the most popular Indian food called dosa or idli, which is the fermented paste of rice and black beans, and it's emulsifier or a fermentation agent is fenugreek.
Oh, okay.
And also the bread is fermented. You add bicarbonate because the bread become the oleum become big, or even the sourdough. So the fermentation is a whole lot of various processes and various mechanisms. Yep.
Yeah, I was curious about that because the particular style of the type of fermentation that you primarily practice is called upilaitati.
Right. Upilaita, they means put it in the salt.
Yes.
Yeah, upa means salt. Lita means the put.
Say it again.
Yeah, can you?
Upilaita.
Okay.
Upilaita, the upa means salt. It's a salt fermentation.
Okay, got it. Yeah. Yes. Yes, and then so with this salt fermentation, it's a style of lactofermentation where, how does it differ from other types of fermentation?
Yeah.
What's unique about it?
See, the fermentation today in a massive scale and a commercial scale, people, you know, the companies which produce pickles, they use a huge amount of vinegar. So as we know in America, the pickle means that, you know, a cucumber soaked in a bottle of vinegar, which according to me is not a healthy process of pickle making or fermentation. Because when you add vinegar into a pickle, you are acidifying the food.
Mm-hmm.
But the vegetable itself has acid. So what the process that we follow is called a dry fermentation. What we do is we allow the vegetable to breathe, which is to get rid of the carbon dioxide, methane, and also allow the vegetable to release its juice, which is lactic acid, which is itself is equivalent to vinegar. So we don't have to add extra vinegar into the fermented food. And also, when you add vinegar into a fermented food, when we consume it, the excess of vinegar kills actually the many useful bacteria called gut bacteria. So the fermented food is full of useful bacteria.
Yes.
And the adding vinegar is not a process which we follow, but we use the vinegar. Vinegar can be used in a different way, but when we use it, we don't need it. And all over the society, all over the world, if you look at primitive ways of food making, it is always salt and sunlight and glass jar or a ceramic jar. These are the basic tools.
So
that's
what
we follow.
So you'll notice that in the pickle meditation right now, if you were following, your vegetable is sitting there underneath the paper towel. So that's what Suresh is talking about, letting the carbon dioxide release. So we actually let it sit for 6 to 8 hours before we jar it, and that releases.
Yeah, the process of fermentation is like when you add salt to a raw vegetable, the vegetable immediately start releasing, if it is cut or even if it is not cut, the vegetable immediately start releasing its liquid, its body liquid. Along with that process, the vegetable release a lot of air, which is carbon dioxide, methane. So the process of fermentation, what we do is we cut and we put the salt in a steel bowl and we mix it thoroughly without any spices, just salt and any vegetable. And we cover it with a clean cloth and keep it steady for 6 hours. So during the 6 hours, the vegetable release all its unnecessary gases.
Okay.
Then we put it in a jar, and the jar we don't tight the lid closely.
Yes.
We keep it loose for 2 days so that it completely get rid of all the gas, and then we tighten it and put it in the sun where the sunlight is available, external heat, for 6 weeks. That's the process that we follow.
And one thing different also in there is that often when people do fermentation rather than pickling with salt, they do water. They do a water brine. In the method that we use, we're trusting the salt and the liquid that's going to come from the vegetable to ferment itself. This is this also, when you're actually eating our pickles, why we say to people to always use a clean, dry spoon. You're always not getting any water into that jar. So no water has gone in there. It's all from the vegetable itself. Yeah. And sometimes when people taste it, they say, oh, I don't like they taste the vinegar. They taste it as if it's vinegar, but it's not vinegar. Yeah. It's and that's one of the reasons why we say took you on this little journey through. If you do this with, say, a cucumber later, you just cut up your cucumber, salt it, leave it on the table with a cloth on top of it a few hours, even an hour, come back. It will start to, it already started to release its lactic acid, and you can taste the sourness, which we often do at night for a salad. We just kind of salt cucumbers or something and throw them on the salad, or do it with even carrots. Just cut them really fine. You'll start to see that, and that is a great way to also get probiotics. So just to start doing your own fermentation is the best way to get that.
Yeah, no, it's a powerful way, and it's so, you know, practiced so widely. I mean, I was reading communities were fermenting cabbage with salt in China 9,000 years ago. Yeah. So yeah. Part of this lineage that kind of following what our bodies know.
Yeah. And they lasted. Yeah, yeah. Those people survived for 9,000 years.
I know. So, yeah, it's something there. It's something powerful. And I was interested because I appreciate hearing that kind of process of you're keeping it open for, you know, a short period of time. You're closing it after that short period of time because the lactic acid bacteria require no oxygen in the vessel. But then you add spices at a particular time also in the process. At later point, I read that when you see the CO2 production has decreased a little bit. And I was wondering how that influences the taste or outcome of the ferments, because always learning. And I'm just curious how that impacts.
The process, the logic of fermentation in Ayurveda, it is described in various texts and various practices. So when you make a fermentation, you're making a fermentation of garlic scape, that's our product, right? Mm-hmm. When you make garlic scape get fermented within 6 weeks with the salt. So when you take it out, garlic scape has a kind of a kind of a sweetness, as a creator, that you need to decide what kind of taste that you are going to give, and the taste for that, the taste that you option is the spices. So the spices traditionally in pickle, in so-called pickle in India, we use, or the land where culture which I come from, we use a combination of three important spices called fenugreek, mustard, asafoetida. These are three medicinal herbs, and you can add a little chili powder to it. And these are three really bitter herbs. So the real bitter herbs with the salt in the fermented and with a little chili, it gives a unique taste.
Can I repeat those? We've got fenugreek.
Mustard, asafoetida. The fenugreek, mustard, asafoetida. We use the seed of fenugreek. We use the freshly grounded the asafoetida. So, you can't use the powder. The powder for the market. The powder means it when you want after 2-3 weeks the powder lose its potency.
You're saying the ground up spices from the market. Saying that we want to start with fresh whole spices.
Right. Yeah. Right. Okay. If you are planning to make a 1 pound of a vegetable like a cucumber or okra or a plant or squash or zucchini or anything, string beans, or I would suggest 1 pound of vegetable, cut it in the smallest possible size, and squash and zucchini, prefer if it is not organic, get rid of the skin and the inner inside the fluffy part and the seeds, they make it proper. Then add less than one teaspoon salt and mix it thoroughly. And when you mix it, make sure there is no water in the vessel, nor in your hand, nor in your cutting tools. It's a dry fermentation.
And you're very clean.
And
the surface should be clean.
Yes. So once you mix it and cover it with a cloth for 6 hours, so this vegetable breathe. Mm-hmm. So during this process, the vegetable turns soft, the thick one is turned soft. And after 6 hours, you can put it into the jar.
Mm-hmm.
So this fermentation lasts for 6 weeks, the general period. I mean, 4 to 6 weeks. After 4 to 6 weeks, we open it. We transfer into a bowl, and we freshly grind the spices
yeah.
and the spices according to the combination, and you mix with that.
Mm.
And again, you keep it for 2-3 hours after the mixing, 2-3 hours.
Mm.
Then you keep it in a jar. You can fill it in a jar and close it. And we do hot water bath, so it gets stable forever.
I see. But then if you added the spices early, are you like looking to kind of harness the potency of those spices? Or like if you added them at the beginning, would it influence the bitter right. taste? Or how is it? It's kind of yeah. you want it to be a fresher, more yeah. bright taste, so they're not just kind of yeah. being yeah. almost digested yeah. along with the vegetables. The microbes aren't breaking them down. Like in
yeah,
that time.
one can add the spices at the beginning of the fermentation. There is no problem, but
you don't
allow the vegetable to ferment properly.
I see.
So if you allow the vegetable to ferment properly, and the spices are very useful medicinal properties,
sure.
of course. So, but in this process, it's for the taste.
I see.
Fermented food, if you want a real fermented food taste, allow the vegetable to ferment, then add spices.
Got it.
You can always add spices in the beginning.
Sure.
But the taste
sure.
will be different.
Yes. Don't let that vegetable have too much to do.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Give space for the vegetable to really right. shine. Yeah.
Right.
Well, as you mentioned, those spices are really powerful in the system of medicine that influences your practice, Ayurveda, which translates, I read, into the knowledge of life. And a core ethos of this, as I mentioned earlier, is food as medicine, medicine as food.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also, I mean, I'm just starting to learn. I mean, I researched a little bit for the show, but there's so much about balance. There's a lot about the physical body and how it's a manifestation of elements in the world. As you just said, there's a strong emphasis on taste mm-hmm. and flavor. I was curious about how your practice, or even fermentation reflects or incorporates Ayurvedic principles.
Yeah, Ayurveda is an evolving science, though it is very ancient. It looks at the food as the medicine and food medicine as the food. And the body and the whole world, which we don't know, this body is given to us. We didn't create ourselves. So there is a natural balance. And the human body is a naturally programmed and naturally designed being. And we don't push our heart to work. Heart will work on its own. So is our entire part of the body. So is the food. Food is also a natural, because all that we are doing since our birth to the death is the food and water going through our
yeah.
body and it's straight out. So the whole body itself is a process of, processing all the natural materials, which is food. Now, when we come to the fermentation, part of the food is a fermentation. That was a question, right?
I was just interesting how Ayurveda kind of influences.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So the Ayurveda postulates that the food, every habitat has the food and medicine. The practitioners have to identify. So you don't have to import here and there, but importing is always good. Right? If you are using turmeric. Imported from India, but there must be an equivalent of turmeric herb in Native American tradition here, which we saw in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
So if you look at the chemistry of the food, most of the food that we eat any places here, vegetable, beef, and all kinds of things, there is it's all limited to a few sessions. It's not like a bison or it's looking like a bird eating thing. Or we have only our food practice itself is very limited.
Yeah.
Because there are so much abundance of food around the world, but we can only because of our body
yeah.
cannot digest many things.
Sure,
so the
sure.
Ayurveda says the practitioner needs to look at what is the food in abundance and what is the medicinal quality
mm-hmm.
and make food out of it. So
yes.
for instance, a fennel grows wild here.
Yeah.
But it's being cooked
mm-hmm.
and only when it is like a roast. So when I saw the fennel, when we started growing it, so what my practice as a practitioner, I said, like, what can we do with this whole huge, like garlic scape, like a huge amount,
yeah.
it goes waste.
Yes.
So I just started lacto-fermenting it. So when you lacto-ferment it, the fennel stem, it doesn't taste as good as garlic scape. So then I thought, okay, what could be the best
hierarchy.
Way?
Then I'm here it comes Ayurvedic. It has a lot of textual references, innumerable text. So one of the Ayurvedic medicine is using 5-cumin as a cooked condiment for during pregnancy and childbirth for the metabolic process to vitality. So well, I was inspired by that cooked condiment recipe, which is a medicine.
Yeah.
So I borrowed that and I converted it into apical, like fermented fennel, and added a little sugar, the
yes.
brown sugar. Then added 7 aromatic spices, which
wow.
I follow an Ayurvedic one, which is time tested, because the combination of spices is also a problem. You can't add spices in random combination. You can't. There is a system. Like you can't add a coriander with cardamom. There is a system, and the system is chemistry, basically chemistry, and also it affects the taste. So this the valuable information. I mean, here this in Native America and South America, they have had thousands of years of this culture, but
sure.
because of the colonization, everything has gone. But this country, this place here where I'm sitting, the Mohicans had a whole long tradition of fermentation, and the vessels we can see still. So that we have lost, which is what America, if America wants to be great again, America
Uh-oh.
Needs to look at their own food tradition, which
yeah.
is not European, it is Native American, because
yeah.
that is the land that we live. So what I'm doing is I'm just looking at the classical text and incorporating their practices of the spices, and I'm using the native vegetable.
And just to add, maybe you can fill this in. One of the things is about taste is the vehicle of this. Like part of with Ayurveda is that where it's hitting you in your mouth, and you're getting all the different, how many different tastes are there in Ayurveda? There's
six
different tastes in
yeah.
Ayurveda, and many of our products are so that they hit you in different ways, so that you get the full tastes of them. And using, instead of it being like, maybe Chinese medicine, for example, doesn't taste so great. Ayurvedic medicine, this is kind of about it tasting really great, so that you're getting the things that you need. Maybe you can talk about the six tastes. Does that
yeah,
make sense?
Yes. Ayurveda anatomy, pathology, anatomy, pharmacology, botany. Ayurveda has all different sections. So the human structure, when we come to the structure of human body, anatomy, pathology, ancient text, they clearly defined the human body have the natural ability to taste 6 different variables.
Can we just say the 6 different tastes? We've
yeah,
got sweet,
which is, sweet,
salty,
salty,
bitter,
bitter,
umami,
hot,
kind of like an
hot,
earthy.
Hot.
Okay, we got hot.
Hot.
We've got
then asafoetida, the
umami kind of
umami,
earthy
and lemony.
Hmm. And
lemony,
sour.
Sour.
Okay,
mm.
wait, that's 5.
So,
we got
so the combination of these 6 different tastes.
Stringent?
Yeah, it's basically
astringent. Yeah,
yeah. The combination of 6 different tastes is basically but these are the 6 tastes human beings can taste.
Mm-hmm.
So a practitioner, when we make food, we need to look at all these 6 different tastes and how do we combine it. And 6 different tastes is not just a random thing. It in the tongue, if you look at and closely, say under the mouth, there are 6 nerve endings.
Oh, wow.
So which is connected to the head.
Yeah.
So and which is what the modern neurological science, you can look at all the structure. So for a practitioner again, our basic material, raw material, is either fish or vegetable or meat or whatever. So from this, how do you make a tasty food?
Mm.
So the classification of food materials in Ayurveda also follow Tridosha Siddha. Siddha means
those words again.
Tridosha. Mm-hmm. Tridosha is tri. Tri means our metabolic, the whole body's metabolic functions are classified into 3.
Mm-hmm.
3 parts of the body, lower part, middle part, upper part.
Yes.
So that's simple way to put it. So the vegetables or fish or dairy or whatever is affect, all these, when you process it as a food, when you eat, it affects your metabolic system.
Mm-hmm.
So Ayurveda gives a kind of a guideline, like if you are pitta constitution, you should avoid a savory taste.
Savory is sour.
That, like tamarind, lemony kind of thing. There are a lot of descriptions about it, the practice.
Sure.
And this is in contrast with the modern medicine. Modern medicine, when you take any modern medical botany or pharmacology text, okay, let's take fennel. It describes the fennel as a static tree, a static plant without any life. And then it also gives only what the actual the chemical ingredient is. Mm-hmm. So the lack of knowledge of processing and taking into a cultural value, biocultural value, is there in Ayurveda.
Yeah, and I also liked, I mean, we're coming almost to the end already, but we have a little bit more of time, but I also liked in Ayurveda, there's so much about energies, there's so much about the physical body and each physical body being different, like you said, and having a different kind of accordance with different flavors. Yep. And I appreciated how that kind of came into the ingredients that you use specifically, like you said, with the fennel, you use garlic scapes that mm-hmm. are sort of underutilized, you use rhubarb mm-hmm. that you found on your property. And so these types of ingredients, you're kind of bringing it into balance, or even green tomatoes that people don't typically use, or you might have a lot, at the end of the season, you're bringing them into your pickles in a way that is reflecting, kind of the tenet of balance itself, right. too.
That's true. You're right.
But I appreciate it. Yeah, it was interesting to read about how it can not only be in the actual constitution of the pickle, but also in the practice of how you're kind of operating.
Well, just to break it down, I think that what Suresh is saying a lot of about finding in Ayurveda, it isn't necessarily about... It is much more about finding the food near you that is going to actually resonate with your body. So while we like it, like the idea of saving marginalized vegetables, mm-hmm. we like to say, but it's also the things that grow near us resonate with our bodies in life, in the physical location that we're in. So finding the things, while turmeric is great, Suresh made a reference to yellow root, which is found in the south, which is actually a high berberine content. So what are the things that we can use here instead of just thinking about other places? So that also helps us to find our location. To find where we are and to feel like we belong in the place that we live, and which is kind of an important or very important in our modern and all of our time and with, our migration minds. And so kind of how do we locate ourselves? And this is one way, the fermentation is one way, but finding the foods that are near you, how to use them in that way is very exciting.
Yeah.
If I may just add to what Kari said, I believe that Native American tradition of placing ourselves, placing human beings as part of a habitat, not study human beings as a separate entity, as an intellectual being, rather looking at human development as part of the whole habitat. When we look at it, it demands a relation with the habitat. Habitat is not a dead environment or an ecology. It is a living system. Yeah. It is an extension of our body. So Ayurveda very clearly says, where you live, unfortunately, majority human beings are living in square structures in city, but ideally, a human being who is living in a habitat must understand what are the microorganisms, the trees and plants, and how the food comes and how do you process it. Which is very important.
And what is exciting, in hearing us thinking about this is the relationships. It's all about building relationships, and it's so that you're not building a relationship with, the store, the big box store that you're buying things from. You're building
a relationship with the supermarket.
lonely. It's a lonely relationship. But this is about building more relationships with the ground, with the land, with the vegetables that you're using, with all of it. And so it's not just you finding the a lot of people come to us kind of with this, probiotics and fermentation is becoming trendy
right now.
And it should be, but making your own and being able to ferment and relating to all of that and using the local vegetables, all of that is building a stronger relationship.
It's not only
with the human beings, with the birds. When you talk about local, you are having a relation with the animals and birds and microorganisms and many things.
Mm-hmm.
I think rather than going to the supermarket,
then
you have no relation except money.
And it's like a, possibility for it to be kind of expansive. Like if you're a practitioner, mm-hmm. fermenting, you can not only create this healthful and delicious food, but it's an opportunity for reflection on, what am I doing? Where am I? What do I have to incorporate into my diet. It expands out beyond the kitchen. So it's an opportunity of relation, you know, like that.
And it also happens beyond, it also happens beyond your thinking about it. Your body is doing it,
yes.
You know, by eating it and by the transformations that are happening with it. Like, you've kind of just let it happen. You've trusted the salt. You've trusted your body to take it. All of that will then happen.
Yes.
Yeah, well, also, the fermentation almost, fermentation as a, the classical fermentation. Yeah. If you look at the classical fermentation, you can find the vessels that we use are ceramic.
Okay.
So the process of cooking also extends to other skills and trade.
Yes.
So
yes.
All the cultures have a ceramic jar, and by the ceramic jar has become a classical technology.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Can I just go back for one second
for
you guys to check in?
More minutes.
Check
in on your. I don't want you to get cut off. I want to be able to have an opportunity for listeners to hear about any upcoming news and for where to find you. But yeah, let's check in on our pickles.
Okay, for those of you who did sit your pickles or your vegetables with your salt, take a look at them now and see if there's any liquid there. And what you're going to do, and we've talked about everything being clean, is you're going to put it into your jar now, and then you're going to, as Suresh said, you're not going to put the top on. We're going to put just we're going to put the top on, but don't close it all the way. Just let it breathe a little bit longer. And you're going to also write what you did on a sticker and put that onto your jar. You could call it a WGXC of the air pickle, possibly. And that's how he went through the process a lot. But I just wanted to make sure with what you have there, if you have that there, that gets closed up properly. And then you're going to leave that for 6 hours, a day, whatever it is. And then you're going to tighten it up. And 6 weeks is the time.
Okay.
6 weeks, and you're not going to open it till 6 weeks has happened. And if you didn't let that time happen where the oxygen, where the carbon dioxide goes off, your jar could get really tight, and you know it could explode. So you do want to have that moment where you have let that off, and you can actually burp it within the six weeks. Just kind of do a quick burp if it seems like it is expanding too much. Okay, so
perfect.
Enjoy.
Wonderful. Thank you. Yes. Well, it will see you in 6 weeks, but we are at the end almost. It goes by fast. I just wanted to give you a moment to share how listeners can find you and if you have any upcoming news to share.
You can find us on the internet, on our website, tinafoods.com. And we are at the farmer's market in Hudson sometimes. We'll post it. We're really good at posting on Instagram when things happen. We have a property in Catskill on Route 32. And you can find the address on the internet. And we have an honor system store there. So you can come in and take something in exchange for money.
All kinds of permits.
And we have some, there's a list of stock lists on there of where you can find us. It's best in person. We've got the most things. Some things we don't sell to stores because they're too hard to make. So we only sell them by ourselves. And more, Suresh?
Yeah, I mean, everybody, I request everybody to grab a vegetable and make some pickle and put it in the jar and eat, enjoy.
And then that doesn't say don't buy our pickles. You can try them and they're just different. You'll taste them and say, okay, this is where I want to get to. But that cucumber, salted cucumber, it's awesome.
Yeah.
And you always use some spices. Spices is good for you.
Yes, mix it up.
Don't think that spice is something kind of an Indian magical thing. Yeah. It is a very natural medicine available right outside your door. It's there. You just pick it and eat.
Yeah.
And you need to find your way to process it. Fermentation is one technique. There are many other ways.
So I think that once you go through this and you start to do just a little bit, then it becomes less scary. And then you can start to stretch your muscle of working with things like this.
In the season, you get a peach, you get a plum, you get a
fermented
apple,
peaches.
So much fruit, you can ferment it.
Yeah,
okay, but you know, you may have explosions, but you know, that's okay.
It's part of the process, the somatic exercise. Well, thank you both so much for being here. Thank you for your time. I love speaking with you. And we'll see you next time on Mentor for Men.
Thank you, Rebecca.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody listening. Bye.
Thank you.